Now that brings us to Psalm 139. And Psalm 139 is another psalm of David's. And this is a theological psalm. This is a psalm that reveals something of the attributes of God in relation to His creation. And we have God's omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence here. Now, those are great big words, I recognize, but the omniscience of God means God has all knowledge. The omnipresence of God means God is present everywhere. And then the omnipotence of God means that He has all power, and He can do anything that is the object of power. But sometimes the ridiculous question is asked, can God make a rock so big that He can't lift it? And the answer to that is God never does anything ridiculous, and He doesn't do that. Now, this is a psalm that's going to answer several questions for us that are very pertinent at the present moment. Let me begin reading it. We have first the omniscience of God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. God knows you and me. He knows you today. He is the greatest psychologist. And that's the reason that many of you over the period of the past 2.5 years in this program, I've suggested when we come to it in scriptures that when you have a problem, it's not necessary to climb upon the psychiatrist's couch and tell him everything. Why don't you climb upon the couch of the Lord Jesus? And why don't you just tell Him everything? And you just well tell Him, because He knows. The psychiatrist won't know. Even after you've told him everything that you can think of, he still doesn't know you. But Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. God knows you, because He knows everything. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. And by the way, that word that you were a little afraid to say, it was in your tongue, and you wanted to rip out a good strong oath, and you didn't do it because of the presence of someone there. God saw it in your tongue. You know, He knows everything. He knows those words that are in your tongue. And we are told, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain to it. Now, somebody asks the question, how can God do that? Well, I don't know, because the psalmist here said he didn't know. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, but it doesn't keep God from knowing everything. And actually, the omniscience of God is not an occasion for terror, but actually for comfort. You know, He saved me, and yet He knew me. That's the amazing thing about it. There's some people that you and I accept or receive, and we say, my, I've been disappointed in so-and-so. I've been disappointed many times, as I'm sure you have, in certain individuals. You thought you knew them, but you didn't know them. God knows us, and yet He'll save us. How wonderful He is. God knew David, and yet He was a man after God's own heart. But Lord, David's going to let you down. God says, I know that, but I know something you don't know. That David's faith will fail, but down beneath the faith that fails, there's a faith that'll never fail. And that's the important thing. Lord, you shouldn't have chosen Simon Peter. He's going to be a great disappointment to you. No, he won't be a disappointment to me. I already know what he's going to do. And even Judas he knew. That's the omniscience of God. Now look at the omnipresence of God. And the question is, why should anyone want to get away from God? You can't. No matter where you go, he's there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Now this is verse 7. Of Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. Friends, you can't get away from him. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, you won't get away from God, and you could go to the moon. You don't get away from him. To me, it was thrilling to hear those first three astronauts who went around the moon to read the first chapter of Genesis on Christmas Eve. You don't run away from God, friends, even if you go to the moon. And even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. The man said to me, do you think we ought to confess our sins in detail unto God? I said, of course, spell them out. Oh, he said, you think we ought to mention them? Well, I said, he already knows about it anyway, so you better agree with him on it. You better spell the thing out and let him know that you know it too and that you recognize it as sin. Now we come here in this last part to the omnipotence of God. Now, will you notice this beginning here with verse 13? For thou hast possessed my inward parts, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Now, there's been quite a discussion today on this matter of abortion. I heard a minister say, well, the Bible hasn't anything to say about it, so you can do as you please in this connection. Now, this is the answer to it. You know, the Word of God will probably give you the answer to most problems in life. David said that he was a person, listen to him now, my substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He said, while I was being formed in the womb, I was a person. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. The very minute that there begins to form a person in the womb, that one is a person. And in thy book all my members were written. He's already got your members there of your body, already marked out, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You didn't need even a complete body to be a person. You were a person. Now let me say this, and I want to say it very carefully, and I know I'll get reaction, but somebody better start saying this to Christians at least. Abortion, if it's not to save the life of the mother or to save the life of actually the child at times, is murder. And just to get rid of the little fella in order that the sin might not be known. My friend, if you're going to commit the sin, then you're going to pay for the sin. And if you destroy that little one, you have committed murder. That's what the Word of God says. Now, don't blame that on me. You go back and blame David, first of all, but I think you better go back of David and blame the Holy Spirit. This is a tremendous psalm, and he's talking here, if you please, about the omnipotence of our God. Then you have the wicked and the godly mentioned. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. God will judge the wicked, he says that here. And he will hear the prayer of his people.